damage. Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue in the Rambam, Perek, Dalet, Halacha, Aleph, in Hilchas Avodah Zorah, in the Maznaim text. That will be on page 74 and 75, but I think we should take a look in the introduction on page 72 and 73. It'll make it a little easier for us as we move along. And we'll have the English, and I'll read from the Chumash itself. We're entering a new topic within Avodah Zorah, subtopic, and that's the subject of the Ir HaNidachas, a city that's been led astray to idol worship, and what are the laws of such a city? So, in your book, the introduction gives, goes through all the Pesukim, and it's worthwhile to just go through them, and you'll see there's a big Chiddush. It's interesting why the Rambam, I don't know why the Rambam, this Perek is going to be Ir HaNidachas, and the next Perek, it's going to be Mesis, a person who is trying to take Jews away from their religion. Now, in the Chumash, it's the exact opposite order. First start in Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Zion. It talks about the individual Mesis, and then it's talking about Anir HaNidachas. So, I don't know why the Rambam flips it around. But anyway, let's just go through the Pesukim. First, get an idea of what is this. And there's two aspects with Anir HaNidachas. I'll read the Hebrew and with the English. If you will hear in one of the cities that Hashem your God gives you in which to dwell, you hear saying the following: lawless people, people out of yoke, have gone out from amongst your midst, and they have caused the dwellers of their cities to be led astray. Lay more saying by telling him, "Nail chav and nav de Elohim achrim." Let's go and worship other gods. Asherli datim, which you do not know. If you hear about this and the city is following these guys, v'darashtav achargartav v'shaltehidav, and you investigate this very well, v'nei emes nachan adavar nesatav esos v'gerechan. You see, this is true. This is a city where the people are worshiping idols. Hakeis hakeis yosheir hilu v'cherf. Kill the people, the city, by the sword. Hachremosam, utterly destroy them. Veskola shirbo, everything that's in it, vesbehemtum, and their animals, vihichorv, by the sword. Veskol shalom, and all their spoils. Tikbot zotoch rechova, take, gather into the midst of the road of the city. Vesaraftav esh esair, veskol shalom, kalil Hashem lokech. Burn up everything in the city. For he said, tell all of them, to be an ode, it should be a eternal mound, never be built up again. You're not allowed to take any of that. To get rid of Hashem's anger, etc., etc. Okay, so here is a case of an entire city. Well, we'll see. We don't know exactly. A city that has gone after idolatry, and the mitzvah is to destroy the entire city. So now there's going to be lots of details that the Rambam is going to give us in terms of this, and you'll see. Where there's going to be many, many distinctions. We know if an individual, what happens if an individual worships idols? What's the halacha? What do you do with the guy? With a warning and everything? What do you do with a guy? Idol worshiper. What do you do with him? How do you kill him? Stone him. You stone him. Then you hang up his body. That's an individual. So we're going to see there's halachas of an individual doing this, and there's halachas of a city doing this. And there's a second aspect we have to look at. There's the people who are worshiping idols, and then the people who are leading them astray. There's two separate halachas that we have to look over there. Now, if you look in your introduction again at the bottom of page 72, first of all, let's do all the mitzvahs over here. Number one, there's a negative commandment not to proselytize among the masses on behalf of false deities. That'd be like Jews for Jesus. Can't do that. Number two, you have to burn an Ir HaNidachas. Number three, you can't rebuild an Ir HaNidachas. Number four, you can't benefit from its spoils. Now, he writes over that there is a unique dimension to the laws of an Ir HaNidachas. That's the Hebrew word, Ir HaNidachas, a city that was led astray. That's not found regard to any other provisions of the Torah. In this context, city is considered as a single entity, and the inhabitants of the property are not considered as individuals, but as members of this wicked collective.
So it doesn't matter if there's some good people.
So we'll see. We'll see. The Rambam will discuss later how we deal with them, but they don't get off so simple. Now it's interesting. Machlokas, Gemara in Sanhedrin amongst the rabbis. One position is that the mitzvahs of Aaron Nachas were never actually fulfilled. It was one of these halachas that never ever happened. And why do we learn it? Just to know what God's feelings are about this, but it never really happened. Now another rabbi says, I saw a destroyed city that was near Anidachas. A rabbi said, I saw a city that was burnt to the ground. We'll see later on the Rambam. It'll appear that the Rambam holds to the second view. We'll see from what he says later on. Okay. So, with that, we'll turn the page, and now we'll get into the halachas. We're going to talk about it in great detail. Okay. Yeah, but.
So, whenever the first opinion means that nothing ever met the criteria, or they didn't fulfill the commandment to do it?
No one ever fulfilled the criteria, and therefore it never happened. Just like there's a discussion, the same machlokas by a Ben Soramor, the recalcitrant son, machlokas, if it ever. Some said it never happened, others said I was at the grave of one who was killed. Right. Same machlokas. Okay, anyway, Aleph. Madichei ir mi Yisrael hare elu niskolim. People who lead a city of Jews astray, the leaders, hare elu niskolim, they are stoned. Right? Now, the truth is, the Torah never spells out in what we just read in the Chumash does not tell us what we do to these guys. But the rabbis make a gzeira shava. It says over here, it says, Vayadichu es Yosheiram, they led astray the people of their city. And then the psukim before, but the individual who leads another one astray, says, Ki bi kesh lahadichacha, he wanted to lead you astray. And over there, when it talks about one guy trying to process one guy, the Torah says you give him skila. It says you stone him. So once we have that, so we have by the individual trying to take an individual away from Yiddishkeit, he's stoned. So the same thing we're going to say, if he wants to take a group away, we stone him as well. But we'll see there's certain criteria that have to happen for us to stone this guy, as we'll see later on. But anyway, generally speaking, if he meets all the criteria, we stone this guy. Even though the leading us, what's a good word for the guys who are leading astray? Missionaries, there must be a better word for it.
Ringleaders?
What? Yeah, but there must be a better word, a good English word for people who lead others astray. Must be a... Well, whatever. Okay, but anyway... So those guys who lead them astray, even if they themselves don't worship idol worship, they convince others to do it. Maybe they're on they're mercenary missionaries. They get paid per convert, even though they don't believe in it. Right? It's like the guys who, selling you stuff, salesmen, even though they don't use the product themselves, right? So the same idea. So even though they don't worship idols at all, they will get stoned, and even if they're not successful, whether they're trying and they're not successful, still doesn't matter. They will get stoned. But again, we'll have to see exactly what's going on over here.
When it says leading them astray, it sounds like they did lead them astray.
Well, they're trying to lead them astray, right? Now, Ella, hey, now, so obviously, Avdavazar, even though they didn't survive worship, Ella, he dichwes Yoshri Iram, but they led astray the people of their city, Achavdavazar, until they served idols. Now, that is the guys who led them astray. That's their punishment. Va'anche ha'ir hamudachim, and the people of the city who have been led astray, neheragim besayif, they are killed with the sword. Okay, and that's what it says in the Pasuk. The Torah we just read said they're killed lafi cherev. It's one of the four death penalties. Now, but for who? But that's only she'avdu avodah zara. These people, the people of the city, have to have served an idol. Or shekiblu alem keloka. They accepted it as a god, even though they didn't exactly serve. I've already learned if you accept it with saying this is my idol, you're still chayiv misa, right? So that's for them. And that's interesting what we're saying now. We're saying that the people in the city who are led astray, they're going to get the sword as opposed to an individual who worships idols who gets stoned. It's a different halacha. Now, the next question is, so that's okay, so we understand the guy's not allowed to do it, And we understand his death penalty is from a gzeirah shavah, from the individual, who leads to a certain individual. But where's the warning in the Torah that says you can't do this to a city? So it's in Sefer Shmos, Shneamar lo yishom al picha, should not be heard from your mouth these types of words to lead people astray. Okay, so now we've learned two things. What happens to people who lead them astray? What happens to people who are led astray? Now,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's
a little early in the game yet, but
I know, but I'm just saying to you, why don't you just look at this for what it is, and I don't really see what if this would allow, let's say, if a parent, this was certainly prevalent in through the 60s and 70s when I was growing up, there a lot of kids went off to Eastern religions, especially Buddhism or Hinduism or something like that, and so they would go to these false sort of idols that they would worship. So
that's
then
a big problem.
So you would think that, so would a parent have to kill their kid?
No, because first of all, it only happens with warning. With a warning, with two witnesses. You'd have to go to India and warn them. And we can't kill anybody now because we don't have a business. We don't kill anybody anymore. We haven't done that for the last couple thousand years. You'll see, you have to have a proper bezdin to do all these things. So we don't have a bezdin anymore. But these people are, you know, in God's eyes, right? What did we say the punishment is? What did we say earlier? Chayav kares. You have kares. It's bad enough. Soon the parents try to stop them, but we don't kill anybody. Chil Shabbos, none of these things. We don't kill anybody anymore. We don't have a bezdin. We don't have a base of Mikdash. We can't do it anymore. But in theory, you're right. If we had a base of Mikdash, you'd have witnesses and he would get killed. Yeah.
So nowadays you can do tshuva for the karet? Like if
you can always do tshuva.
No, I mean, but back then you didn't have much time because you're...
Only if there were witnesses.
So, but
death process would be a form of kapara for you. The whole idea, killing him becomes the kapara.
It's actually the kapara.
He has to do tshuva before him and get the kapara from that. So that's...
If you did tshuva, then maybe you can avoid the...
The kares?
Yeah.
Yes, you could.
I don't know about the stoning.
But that doesn't work. If there's two witnesses, if there's two witnesses that warned you, it's the way it is in anything, Shelley. Murder, any of these things. The witnesses warn you and you say, I don't care, I hear what you're saying, I'm doing it anyway, then that there's no way out of there afterwards. And therefore they have to get killed, and part of that killing process is the tshuva that happens. Okay, now, base. Eino ir nasis ir nidachas. Now, city does not become, there's a lot of qualifiers here, conditions. A city does not be considered an ir nidachas. Ashiu madichesham, there has to be at least two provocateurs, whatever you call those guys. Two guys trying to pull them away. Oh yes, Hashem, or two, or more than two. I know this because look what the pasuk says. Shenemar says, Yotsu anoshim b'nei Belial, men who don't have a yoke, who are lawless. It says lawless men, and the minimum men is two. Right? So it's interesting. So what we'll learn later on, the Rambam will say, what if you're missing any one of these technical things? Are people just going to totally get away with it or whatever? You'll see it. No one's getting away with anything. But there's it seems there's a separate law of a city together gets a certain death penalty as opposed to an individual where it's a stronger. What's the strongest of the death penalties? Stoning is stronger. Right? So when an individual, you see already what's going on over here. If an individual by himself worships idols, he gets stoned. That's a worse punishment because if one guy's worshiping idols while all the other Jews are religious, you got a big chutzpah, man. Everybody's observant and you're the one worshiping idols? That's really bad. Now, if you get some smooth-talking guys and they're wowing the whole city, when a group does it, you know, at least on the individual level, they're going to get killed, but it's through the sword, which is a lower level of punishment, because at least, you know, there's that group pressure and all those other dynamics that happen that minimizes the individual's. Again, either way, it's not good. He's getting killed either way. You understand? But there are different levels, you know, a more severe punishment. So that's all in terms of what kind of kapora they need, you see. If, in other words, part of the kapora is the death. And if you need the strongest death, it means you need more kapora. Person Machal Shabbos. right? Chal Shabbos gets stoned. Avodah Zarah gets stoned. These are things that are terrible, terrible averis. The worst averis. So you get stoned. But when the whole city is worshiping already, on an individual level, of course they're gonna die. But it's not as bad. The kapara is a little less needed because it was a, I'm theorizing here. And so therefore, we're gonna see in a minute, even though conditions don't apply to call it an iran nidachas, but the individuals will still get killed. There's just, the difference will be, how do they get killed and what'll happen to their, possessions? All right, that's what's going on over here. So we fear, well, you're killing him is killing him. What does it matter? No, it's a big difference. There's different places you're buried. People that are stoned are buried in one place. People that are killed by the sword are buried in a different area because there's worse penalties.
So it's just saying if one person managed to pull it, the whole city.
So we'll see. Let's just wait. We'll wait. But I'm just want you to be sensitive to, you know, why the Rambam is getting so, you know, detailed over it, because it's got to be a precise way. And this way means it's called an ira nidachas. Missing any of those criteria, it's not an ira nidachas. Then we look at individuals as individuals.
And it all gets done.
Yeah. So that's why it has to be a two or more people trying to convince the others. And the people trying to pull the people away cannot be total strangers. They have to be people who are from that city and from that tribe. Again, I guess another factor to minimize it a little bit is guys you knew, so you can be misled by them. As opposed to a stranger comes, how can you guys be so misled by a stranger? Right, so there's more fault on the part of the people when that happens. Shenemar, how do we know that? Shenemar, it says, if these people come, mikir becha, from your midst. So these instigators have to be from your midst, from your tribe, from your city. And then, vayadichu es yoshvei iram. And they lead astray the people who live in their city and not people who live in a different city. But how much does it have to be? Va'ad shiadichu ruba. Until they have got the majority of the city gone on the other side. They have to be successful enough to get the majority of the inhabitants to be worshiping idols. Now, what he's going to talk about next is there's different levels of cities, and only certain cities fall into this category and others do not. So, v'yu hamudachim, and the amount of people that have to be led astray has to be of a city from, mimea, from at least 100 men who live in that city, v'ad, up to, but not including, rubo shel shevet, the majority of a tribe. And we'll see that does not mean a tribe. You'll see in a minute, shevet means a large city. So you'll see in a minute what he means over here. We'll just read a little bit more. You'll see what it means. Avolim hudach ruba shel shevet. But if the majority of a shevet leads astray, and the commentators say shevet is a krach godol, it's a big city where most of the people of the tribe live in that city. You know, let's say, you know, I don't know exactly. Let's say Toronto. If you're looking at Ontario, how many people live in Ontario and how many live in the GTA? Is it possible that more than 50% of Ontarians live in the GTA? Okay, in other words, you could have such big cities that city is the majority of the Shevet, right? So, if it's such a big city, right, then we judge them like individuals. And now they're punished with skila, which is a worse punishment. Okay, see, that's the difference. Shenemar, because the Torah says, who do they do this to? They're called Yoshvei Ha'ir. They do it to the inhabitants of an ear of a city. Now, a city's like in between. Lo Kfar Katan, not a small village. Small village, we don't say these laws by. Lo Krach Gadol, not a big city. So what's the numbers? V'chol Pachas Mimea, any city that's less than 100 people, Kfar Katan, that's called a small city and a small village. And therefore, that is referred to not as what we're dealing with. That would be called individuals. Verubo shall shave it. If it's the majority of a tribe, big city, Krakorol, it's called a big city, and it also doesn't fit in that criteria. So not every city fits this criteria. If it's less than 100, it's too small. If it's got the majority of a tribe in that city, it's way too big. It's got to be somewhere more than 100 or more, and less than a city the size that's half the size of the entire Shevet population-wise. So that's the criteria for that to fit in. If you don't fit into that criteria, let's say you have a city of 50 and they all are worshiping idols, then they're each judged as individuals. If it's a huge, huge city, then again they're judged as individuals. Again, I mean, we can theorize on the logic. You know, I guess you need the right kind of city where, like, everybody still knows a lot of the people and we could consider you influenced by all the people. I guess if it's a very small city, it's too small to be considered a city and everyone's considered individuals. It's too big of a city. You really don't have a connection with everybody in that city that's involved in it. So you need somewhere in the middle, mid-sized city, where everybody is, you know, knowing everybody and they're influenced by everybody. Otherwise, the others just, they get killed and, with a different misa, and there's other differences as well. What if the people who are leading them astray are women or minors or one person? All of them, he'll say in a minute, will not have a status of Eri Dachas, because it's excluded, because it says there has to be Anoshim. The Torah says, Anoshim B'nei Blial, lawless men. So a woman is not a man, a minor is not a man, and one man is not men. Right? Oh, or if Shehut Chamayuta, what if only a minority of the city gets led astray? Oh, Shehut Chamalem. Or let's say nobody led them astray. They just themselves started leaving Yiddishkeit without anybody leading them astray. Or the people who were pulling them away were from a different city, as we already said. So then all these exclusions ain't done in Badir Anidachas. We don't judge it as a city that is led astray. They're judged as individuals that served idol worship. And what is their status? The Soklin call me Sho'avad. And we stone anybody of those individuals who worshiped. And that is another halacha. We already said in Yeridachas, all their money gets burnt up. But now, that's if it's a group. With individuals, what happens if an individual is killed? What happens to his money? Umamonam, liyorsheim kishar rigabesin. Their money goes to their inheritors, like anybody who gets killed by the court. Let's say guys, Machal Shabbos, we kill him. So what happens? So he's like a regular seventh person who dies. Whoever inherits from him inherits. So you kill a guy who worships, anybody who doesn't have heir that gets a death penalty, we don't take away his money. Only by an ira nidachas, a city, then there's a special halacha, because we want no memory of this city. That's the main idea. You don't want to even remember this city. It's too big of an impact on Klal Yisrael. So you just get rid of all the stuff that's there. You kill the people, you burn the stuff, finished. It's all out. An individual, okay, we killed an individual, that's enough, but the family still gets the inheritance that comes from him.
When you say, I'll kill all the people, what do you mean by all the people?
Which case are you asking now? A regular Ani Dachas?
Yeah.
No, we'll see. We kill all the idol worshippers. Okay, well, let's say you have a city of 20,000 people, right? 12,000 people are worshipping idols. Yeah. So they will all get the sword.
What about the kids?
We're going to talk about that in a minute. We're going to talk about everything in a minute. And we'll talk about the people who didn't serve. But not everybody's going to get killed. Some will, some won't. We're going to see.
So in this really, really large city that's bigger than the criteria, then the city doesn't get destroyed?
No, that's correct. But the individuals...
get stoned.
You can have a million people serving idols.
But isn't all the material, the buildings and all that, isn't that all tainted by...
No.
No, that's the law.
We're not talking about they served. We're not talking about things they served. Just money they had. The guy was a banker, made money, you know, was an accountant, made money. And he happened to also worship idols. But that's nothing to do with his money. Now, if you use the money in the process of worshiping idols, then there's a problem. But normally, when anybody dies, is punished because of a capital crime. We don't take away his money. The money goes to his kids. So you have a city of a million, let's say, you know, you have a million Jews in a city, and they're all worshiping idols, but that's more than half the Shevet. So we're going to kill them all, but we're not going to stone them. We're going to give them the sword. We're not going to burn everything in the city. We're just, their children will not be killed either. And they will just inherit. We'll see. We still have to get to the children, and there's a lot more to talk about here. But I'm just trying to get these distinctions here. So it only applies. You can begin to see why there's an opinion that says this never happened.
Right.
You begin to see what has to happen, or it has to be two men or more from the tribe, you know, and the city's not too big, not too small, and the majority of the people went after it. So you can see how much, just like the Ben Sormar had so many conditions, you could see how it's possible that it would never happen.
Is the warning a general proclamation, or is it...
We're going to see. We're going to see. It's a lot of details that have to go through here. Gimel, ein donen din ir hanidachas el bezin shalshim vechad. Another law: you cannot judge as to whether a city is an ir hanidachas unless it's a court of 71, which is the Sanhedrin Hagadol, the great Sanhedrin that sits in the Lishkas Hagozis in the Beis Hamikdash. Those are the ones who can adjudicate this. Nobody else. How do we know this? Shenemar, it says, by an individual, when an individual is worshiping idols, it says, when an individual worship idols, we say, we take that individual to the gates of the city. The gates of the city is where the local court of 23 sits. Yechidim, individuals, ne'aragim v'vezin shel kol shar. They get killed by the bezin at every gateway, and that's a bezin of 23. Shel kol shar v'shar. Vein ha'merubim, but when there's a lot of people, they're not ne'aragim killed, ela b'bezin ha'godol. They have to go to the Jewish court in Yerushalayim, because that's already a very serious thing, and therefore you need a bigger court for that. Now, another interesting halacha. Dalit. Ein achas me'orei miklot nasas ir anidachas. An ir miklot, a city of refuge, cannot ever become an ir anidachas, even though everybody is serving, even if it's a mid-sized town, and everybody's worshiping, and all the other criteria are met, you still do not destroy the city. Why? Shinemar says, ba'achas orecha, one of your cities. Now that means it belongs to the tribe of so-and-so and so-and-so. But really, that they're not considered your city. And Ir HaMiklat is not considered your city. It's more of a public city. You know, no one really has ownership of it per se. It's like a government agency, as it were. That's the Rambam's position. The Raiva disagrees with this. He says, I don't understand where he gets this. The only thing the Gemara ever says about which city cannot be in Aradechas is Yerushalayim. To Yerushalayim, there's no Shevet who has a portion in Yerushalayim per se. And so therefore he disagrees. But others who defend the Rambam say there is certain sources who says that from different drushes, from different drushes that we're not going into, that it does not apply to Ir Nidachas. And then he continues, the lo Yerushalayim nasas Ir Nidachas, and Yerushalayim cannot be made into a city that gets destroyed from being led astray. Because it was not divided up amongst the Shratim. It's a universal piece of real estate for all, not universal, it's national, not universal. It is universal in a certain way, but it's nationally owned. In other words, it belongs to the Jewish people, not to one Shevet per se. Now, also another interesting rule. Vein osin ir anidachas basafor. You don't make an ir anidachas in a border town. For obvious reasons, if you're going to wipe out a border town, now you're leaving yourself liable to being invaded by the enemies. So, you know, if you're going to wipe out this city, then the rest of Eretz Yisrael is going to get compromised. So we don't treat them as an Eretz. Now remember, you can still kill these people as individuals, but the difference is you're not burning the city to the ground. But you still got a city. And you can bring other people in. We'll see it. We already said, you can't rebuild the city. So a border town, it would be very dangerous for the Jews to have it totally wiped out. You can't build it up. What's going to happen? The non-Jews will move right in there. So we kill them. Again, no one's getting away with anything. They're all going to be killed with stoning. The property is not destroyed. Other Jews can move in and take over the city and still be able to defend the borders of Israel. That's what he says. We don't want non-Jews to come in and destroy Israel. And one last law here. One bezdin is not allowed to make three ir hanidachas, one next to another, even if it's in the middle heartland of Eretz Yisrael. Because that would be like making a bald spot in the land of Eretz Yisrael. It's too much area that's not being developed. But if they're at a great distance from each other, then they can. Okay, we'll continue with more halachas tomorrow, Mitzvah. Shukayach, guys. So, tomorrow I hope to, I planned to be here of my son's graduation. It's at 7:30, but it's only like a 45-minute graduation. So I won't be here for Mincha, and I won't be here for the early Marv, but I'll probably show up at about 9:15. So don't be alarmed.
So probably no late Marv tomorrow either.
There will be a late Marv. I'm going to call a few guys to make sure. That you
Rabbi,
come.
Will need a Marv.
Come tonight. Come tomorrow night. I'm going to call a few guys and
Rabbi, I'll need a Marv.
Say what happened. What?
Rabbi will need a Marv.
I need a Marv too. I mean, we'll have. I'll have to make some calls tomorrow. That's right. If you don't see me, don't be alarmed. Mordechai will be here.